to time. Can you just talk about the thinking and the context in which it was set up?
Oh, well, all right. Yeah, the foundation was started in 84?
82.
Okay. And at that time, it was, Cliff and I supported it with, I think, $140,000 a year. And we had the little scholarship program, but we had it just for, because we had a plant in Wyoming at that time, Wyoming, Colorado, and Iowa students. And we ran as many as 7 students or 8 students a year. But of course it just got, and we were doing the selecting, and oh gosh, you know, here, we actually took the airplane and flew around and met some kids, and I said, hey Cliff, you know, we can't keep doing this. And so then Larry Liggett, who got his PhD under Dr. Deal, and Larry was even a part of our wedding party, he had already retired from his company, and so said, would you take over? And he said, oh, I'd be thrilled to. And he had a very modest amount of money just to kind of help. And of course, he paid all of his expenses. But he loved it. Mm-hmm. And he made a newsletter, and he wrote to all the kids, and kept everybody up to date. Larry did a magnificent job of running that. Mm-hmm. So that was the background. And then out of that, he graduated 104, and then we had, 8 ahead of that, we had run it, so that was the 112.
And right now there are how many scholarships?
Well, we're about 45 under scholarship right now. Right now.
So and we have 8 PhDs at Wyoming. Mm-hmm. Wyoming, oh, Cliff liked the Wyoming Department of Chemistry. Right. He said it's real chemistry up there. And
Analytical and hands-on.
And the students get 1 year, 4 year, how many years?
Five or six. Well, if they want to get a teaching certificate or they want to get a master's in teaching, we'll allow that too.
Okay.
So,
that's great.
And we're still ultimately going to get an East Coast representative. Mm-hmm. We don't have one yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we're flirting with Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good chemistry school?
Sure. Yes.
But we don't have anybody in the East Coast, in the metro area.
Mm-hmm.
Catholic University apparently produces a lot of
chemistry. And that's Washington, D.C., I think.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So someday we're going to have one or two in the East Coast that will be our chemical teacher supplier.
Yes.
So,
Bruce, you're the president of the foundation.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
So what fraction of your time does the foundation take?
Well, since I'm not working at HOC, I do this every day. Okay. So this is a full-time job.
Yes.
Wish the stock market wasn't going down, because I used to say I didn't need to have a salary, and
but now you're going to
start thinking about that. But yeah, there'll ultimately be just 3 of us that do this, and unfortunately we lost Annette. You remember Annette?
Yes.
She resigned. She was having some personal issues that needed immediate attention, and she had just needed to step away for a while.
However, you've got a man coming in from HOC.
He's a former chemistry teacher. Mm-hmm.
And he headed up the HOC Technical Training Center. He's a marvelous speaker. He has a daughter who is a chemistry teacher.
Yeah.
And a whiz bang of a person. So this thing is just going to blossom. Yeah. We're just in the infancy here.
What is his name?
Well, he hasn't.
Or is it? You don't want to say.
Turned it. Yes. Okay.
But
the deed is done.
He's a chemist. A chemist, and was there'll be a total of 3 of us in this foundation, probably indefinitely. Yeah.
He was a very bright fellow that was headed for a PhD at Iowa State. Clifford recruited him. Because he talked him into coming. And of course, I think he never really resented it because all of his his kids all graduated out here, and his kids have all done real well, and so. But now he's coming with the foundation.
Very good. Very good.
We're thrilled.
Three territories at least. One is other things that is there anything else that you'd like to you can think of right now that you'd like to get into the
I think we've covered things pretty well.
There's opportunity when you get the transcript to
the what?
When you get the transcript, you've got opportunity
to add on to it as you see fit.
Yes. All right, yes. You bet.
Yes, I guess I'd be interested in thoughts, your own thoughts on entrepreneurs and women and women entrepreneurs and I'll just talk. Can you talk about that?
Sure. All right. You bet. Well, first of all, I am what's called a founding member of the Committee of 200, which is entrepreneurial women, and you had to be either a president or a CEO of a company. When I went in, $5 million. Any more, the minimum is now $50 million that you have to be CEO of or more. Now they really up that. There are a lot of entrepreneurial women out there, and they're doing some pretty remarkable things. So I don't now maybe you know they talk about the glass ceiling and all that. You know, I don't know. That's the kind of thing I never undo over those kinds of. That kind of discussion. I think that Larry told me that of the young women who had applied for the scholarship, that we had been running around 40% were women. In this last, his last class that where he had to go through and select for the foundation, 56% were women, were young girls. So young women are, and I gave some of these numbers, I think, to David or to John, and they confirmed that that was what is being seen now on a more national level. So I think back about my friendship with Mary Good. And that goes back a long time ago, and I'm sure Mary won't remember me anymore, but we had nice associations at the ACS some time back. Mm-hmm. And so there, I think that the Mary Goods, there are going to be a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And they're bright, they're capable, they're going to be well-educated, and I just don't worry about these things, about glass ceilings. I think this kind of thing takes care mm-hmm. of itself on an individual basis, and I think it's going to be good. That's what I would say.
Okay. All right, let's ask you both, if you think about the Hark company and its technical contributions for a minute, and what would you say are the key and I'm thinking of things like the turbidimeter and so on. What would your paragraph be about the key contributions of the Hark company?
Well, okay, you want to go for I.
You go.
Okay.
And I'll.
I really think the key and it was the intention was the simplification of the colorimetric procedure is really required a pre-manufactured reagent, trusting the reagent to be made by a third party, in this case the Hark company, but to such a high quality standard that it could absolutely meet all possible scientific criteria. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to think that what the company did was this blending. It provided the layman a chance to be able to do the tests, which would be required in water management, but never intended to, again, discredit the integrity of chemistry or ever dissuade a person from wanting to explore the academic chemistry discipline. So we walked both lines, provided lay technology, but did it in such a sophisticated way that it still continues to hopefully honor chemistry going forward. How does
I think that's very good. Yeah, that's, simplification of procedures and trusting the third party with the pre-measured, pre-manufactured reagents.
I think we became the first company that brought that to that level. Mm-hmm. I think there are other companies at that level today, mm-hmm. but we're the first ones to that level.
I think there's one other thing, Bruce, we could add, was the powder technology. Was pioneered by Hawk, and no one really has picked up as much on that. There's been some tableting and so forth, but that thing of blending and stabilizing the reagents, that was really a core of Hawk technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a.
See, that's about it. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Well, actually, in many respects, it's been argued. You know, Arnold, you wrote a whole book on Beckman. I don't know Beckman as well. Although, we did interface with Beckman on the resale of that DR-4000. Gosh, the Beckman staff was wonderful. That was the most sophisticated group of people I've ever dealt with. They were superb. Mm. So I'm a big fan of Beckman. But Arnold took essentially electrochemistry to try to get it, took it out to the field. And this is colorimetric, simplified colorimetric. But Beckman got to $1 billion and we got to $150 million. But basically kind of doing a bit, very much the same thing, because I think Arnold also represented the integrity of science as well as Clifford.
How large is Beckman Coulter now, do you know?
Oh.
Of course, that's blood chemistry, Coulter.
Yes, well, they've really kind of shifted in that sense. It isn't the company that it was in Arnold Beckman's day when it was instrumentation, broad gauge.
They want to be biomedical.
Well, they've learned something. I think I don't know whether they learned it from Hawk or learned it, but what they realized is that the profits are in the selling the reagents on a continuing basis, not on selling the instrumentation once.
Well, you see, Mr. Gillette had that figured out, gentlemen.
Yes.
Every day.
But I like that it's bringing chemistry to the layman, really.
You can run the test if you can read.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
The test can be done in the field.
Yes.
Those were all some of those little expressions that we used over and over.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And obviously then gets into a low cost per test. Also, the amount of reagent required becomes smaller and smaller and smaller, so there's a minimization of waste and so forth.
And as you say, it's very sophisticated chemistry to make it simple. I mean, it's always need to be very sophisticated to make something simple.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Well, we thank you both.
Well, yeah, thank you.
It's 1:30.